Hey guys, how are you doing? Very glad to have Bill Holter, almost a veteran, I dare say, or in the gold industry. Bill's CV is involved working with Miles Franklin, who's back with again today. He writes regularly there. He also occasionally engages and writes for GATA, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. He is an ardent believer in precious metals and getting physical. And he's at a remote, undisclosed location. So we hope the internet holds up fine. Bill, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having me, Francis.
Anything in your background that you'd like to give for people that might not know you, what you've done, and your take, and maybe a small synopsis of where you see we are?
Sure. I was a retail stockbroker for about 23 years. The last 12 of those, I was a branch manager with AG Edwards. Left the country at the end of 2006. I stepped down as branch manager because I did not want the liability. Moved the family out. We moved to Costa Rica. We were there for 5 years. And obviously, the timing of moving out at the end of 2006, I saw 2007, 2008 coming and wanted to get out of the way. As you mentioned, yeah, I wrote for GATA for years. Wrote for Miles Franklin, and I was partnered with Jim Sinclair for about 7 years. And at this point,
Excellent.
basically, I'm just doing interviews and still do precious metals. I'm a precious metals broker with Miles Franklin.
Awesome. And a great place to be in terms of where we are macroeconomically. Your five bullet summary, in fact, in the tenuous place we find ourselves.
Well, I mean, the broad picture, the bottom line is there's so much debt outstanding worldwide, and it's not just a US problem. This is a global problem. With the amount of debt outstanding, it cannot be paid back. It can be paid back in nominal terms. It can be paid back with newly printed dollars or euros or yen or British pounds or what have you. But from the standpoint of the real value when that money was lent slash borrowed, that can never be paid back in real terms. And that is the problem. They've used derivatives for years and years to patch the system up, price various assets. And I don't know which derivative it's going to be, but when this thing blows, it will be a derivative problem. And at this point, you're looking at $2 quadrillion worth of derivatives outstanding.
And in an environment where we've recently uploaded with an immense amount of debt and have actually gone on one of the steepest, fastest hiking cycles, which surpassed, I was listening to Jim Grant speak about the 40s and the 50s, where it took a decade to raise by 1% in the prelude to a
Right.
sort of multi-decade run up to the inflationary 70s. And we've done four 0.75s almost at each successive meeting. And the effect that should be having on the bulge banks, the protected too big to fail banks, should be an absolute phenomenal amount, surely.
Yeah, behind the scenes, with these rate hikes, there have to be huge margin calls, and we will find out, I think shortly where who has the margin calls. And you're absolutely right. The world is more indebted on any ratio basis, on any gross basis, however you want to look at it. And at the same time, they're raising rates faster than they ever have before. These people are not stupid. In my opinion, it's the plan. If you go back to 1913 when the Fed started, read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And that was basically the plan back then, was to get the United States slash the world over indebted, then raise interest rates, blow the system up. And all I could tell you is, to me, it looks like a plan. And raising rates onto the over indebtedness that exists today is going to crash the entire global financial system. And then what happens after that? The populace will be begging, save us, save us, save us. And there's your central bank digital currency. There's your tyranny right there. And that's where
It's
we're
here,
headed.
isn't it? It's literally here. I mean, just ref that this what I call almost a spontaneous, coordinated, controlled demolition of the financial system. Some
Right.
of the parts are already creaking and wanting to collapse before all the explosives have been put in on all the different columns. I referred to an article recently that was really got suppressed, but I want your take on this because this you mentioned derivatives and the cross holdings of such scale of quadrillions. The Fed sent over 3.84 trillion to BNP Paribas in January 2, 2020. 2.67 to Citigroup. This is trillions, not billions. 2.85
Right.
trillion to Goldman. And so it goes on. 3.6 to JP Morgan, who's literally always been the Fed's bank by name, virtually, and 2.7 trillion to Nomura, 2 trillion to Barclays Capital, etc. And there were a number of them. You're talking, if we surmise that, more than an entire year of US GDP paid in a single check line item to a handful of banks. Surely this is paper duct tape and paper to poker over the cracks of a system that's ready to fail in some parts and is still being propped up in lieu of a timing, literally a matter of timing.
Yeah, it's basically chewing gum trying to patch the system up. I think it was yesterday or the day before, the BIS came out and said that there are $80 trillion of derivatives in the FX market, the foreign exchange market. And they warned that that is a huge problem. So you've now had the BIS. You've had the IMF, the World Bank. The IMF and World Bank have made at least over the last 3 to 5 years, they've made at least two dozen warnings about the debt coming into the system. So when this thing goes down, and everybody will be saying, "Why didn't anybody say anything about it? Why didn't we get warned?" They're just going to say, "We warned you, you just didn't listen."
Yeah, I refer to this very much as the fireman who sets everybody's house on fire and then knocks on the front door and says the house is on fire. It's very much it feels like establishing alibi so that they can say, "Don't blame us, we told you so," as if it was the man in the street
Exactly.
who set up two quadrillion of derivatives. Like every layman man, the plumber and the butcher and the candlestick maker are responsible for a pyramid scheme of inverted pyramid of derivatives. Anyway, I want to take you into a separate little exercise, which I think doesn't get covered enough. We both seem to have come out at the right or the same conclusion. Is it the right conclusion? Get physical, get out of digital. Banks could fail. Bank balances could be voided. A whole massive contagion could be waiting for us as they are tightening into the cycle. This is almost the perfect setup. With a late to react Fed now overreacting where they should have already, we're already in recession by definition recession, and we're already seeing labor markets turn down, housing markets never fallen faster in the States, and across the rest of Europe and China is in terrible state. All this said and done, how as precious metals people. These guys, one thing they are not is stupid. So, assuming we both agree there's been quite a fair level of benign neglect and orchestration involved, they are going to know there are people like us that are rushing into metals and silver. And the game always seems to be to make sure that every rat is captured in this barn that's being burned down. None of us get to, no, they aren't leaving a door. How do we invest in metals and still lose out? What do we need to think of even beyond just the simple thing of holding metals? I've tried to game theory this. If I was them, and the whole game seems to be impoverishment, the hollowing out of the middle classes, right the way up to the middle upper classes, so that we all become dependent. We'll agree to anything. They introduce their surveillance tokens, and we fall into this greater slave state. How do we get caught? What else should we consider apart from the physical holding of precious metals?
Well, first off, what you were talking about, balance seizures, etc. We've said get out of the system as best you can. In other words, have as few intermediaries between you and your money, which means your bank balances should be in gold and silver, other than what you need to pay for the next 3 to 6 months. If you own stocks or bonds or what have you, get the certificates and have them shipped out to you so that if your broker goes out of business, you have your certificate. As far as what potential pitfalls are there owning metals, I think those are obvious. They can obviously put a huge tax on the metal. They can actually make it illegal to own gold or silver. I mean, they did that in the United States from 1933 to what, 1976. The only thing is, if they do that, now you're talking about a black market and the prices will go ballistic. They will have no control over prices, and the real clearing price of gold and silver, you'll get to see, which will be many, many, many multiples of where the pricing is now. As far as what should you be doing other than stacking, I've said all along that you need to be as self-sufficient as possible. If there's a way that you can create your own electricity, if there's a way that you can source your own clean water, some people think that prepping is having a couple of weeks of food on hand. I don't think so. I think you should have 2 years or more of food on hand. I mean, I've done some things like I live in Texas. It's hot here, so we need air conditioning. If I have the electricity to run an air conditioner and it breaks down, we're already seeing difficulty in getting parts. So I went out and I bought the parts to repair 100% an air conditioner. In other words, have the mindset that you can't rely on anyone. Have the mindset that you can't get in your car, and drive a couple miles to the nearest grocery store or Walmart or what have you. Those are going to be closed. You're going to be on your own. And one last thing, and this is obviously a huge thing. You mentioned I'm rural. As soon as COVID started, I viewed that was going to be the excuse. And to this point, I'm wrong. But it's going to play out, and everything will come down. I viewed that as being the excuse to take the system down, and I moved from a somewhat rural situation to a very rural situation. If you live in a city and you think you're going to make it through what's coming, I think that's a big, big mistake.
Yeah, I concur with that actually, immensely. I think self-reliance, and we keep reiterating, it always seems to come down to the same thing. I keep just thinking of how else do they capture us? Because the more you game theory this, it's not to be negative, it's to be higher prepared. Because a lot of people, and they'll be listening to these channels, will say, yep, okay, own gold and silver. Well, yeah, they've got to send a man with a gun, first of all, to take it off you. So that requires a lot more work than zeroizing the bank system and which runs on electronics and everything. So we'll certainly be safer than them. But what if they created two-tier pricing system for, say, silver? They said, listen, this is too important an industrial metal, for our green agenda, watermelon communism that we want to propound. We need it for solar panels. We're going to have an industrial price for people that have a license that are making panels, and they'll pay $15 an ounce for silver. And all you racist, anti-society, knucklehead, tinfoil hat, slur, and how suppressionist we are and how evil we are, kind of what you might have seen with those that didn't buy the full pandemic story, villainization to the nth degree. You, and as a result, you're bad, you're evil, you've created this bottleneck. Because you've got this stupid habit of buying metal and throwing it into a cellar somewhere, which is so purposeless and unproductive. Your price is $50 an ounce silver or $100 an ounce silver going forward. Obviously, that won't be a problem for us if you've already got, but for future stacking, they could create a two-tier market where maybe they cross-subsidize the industrial need. And it remains a subsidized input. But the way I look at it, people see mines needing the access to finance to as the reason that they allow the current prices of silver, where there's effectively only 8 ounces being pulled out of gold, when they should actually say, sorry, we only want X. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to sell enough to cover our wage bill, and the rest is going to go into inventory until such time as the market properly recognizes the value of this commodity. We haven't seen that because they need the access to finance, or they come under all sorts of pressure. So mining is almost co-opted. So I suppose in this long narrative, we've already noticed that miners are under pressure not to fight against the system. Maybe they can come and stigmatize us and do that two-tier pricing model, and then suggest you have to declare those that already own, people like you and I, that they would say, well, you've got to declare your silver and gold holdings, and we are levying a once-off tax or an annual tax on it. That would make it punitive and a very difficult asset to hold. Do we go black market? You know, they're going to try stop you from getting the preservation of wealth, that, and they're going to stigmatize us relative to the rest of the society. And the rest of the society will be like crabs in the bucket that have failed. They've all had their banks zeroized. They aren't going to want to see you escape. They're going to cuddle up in Stockholm syndrome. We've already seen this psychologically. So I'm trying to prepare people for almost this mental psyop, this coercion, and the possibility that we'll be given a fork in the road where you might have to go legit and be marginalized out of the any value of doing it through draconian taxes, or go underground. Any comment on just this hive mind of mine that is just scenarioing out all of these potential outcomes?
Yeah, you're right. And we are, we've been stigmatized for years, so that's nothing new. Yeah, it's very possible that they try to put a two-tier system together. I think the problem with that is they have to keep their system up and running. And with the debt outstanding, I don't see that happening. I absolutely do believe we will be looking at a central bank digital currency. So how do you get your capital back into the system? That's hard to say, but they have to, again, they have to keep the system up and running. And I believe that you're going to see actually two resets. You're going to see the first one that's man-made, and I think that will fail. It may fail as quickly as within 2 or 3 weeks. It may take 2 months. It may stretch out as much as 2 years, but I don't see it lasting much more than 2 years, simply because they have to address the debt, and they have to address the derivatives, and they have to address the fact that there are institutions that are margin called upside down. They're insolvent. You also have the central banks at this point. If you actually did an audit and looked at the books of the Fed, they're insolvent. They have a negative equity position at this point. The only reason insolvency doesn't mean anything with them is they can continue to print dollars. Yeah. So mathematically,
the
they're insolvent.
The two steps, you know, the man-made one, and then what's the second one as well? What does the man-made reset? A credit event. We're all expecting a credit stroke derivatives event. Is it something in that category that you're referring to?
Yeah, it's either going to be a credit, foreign exchange, and ultimately the whole thing is going to be a derivatives event. The man-made reset, as I mentioned, I mean, that is what the powers that be, how they want the world to look. And I don't believe that's going to hold. We will have a second reset where basically all assets find true, fair clearing levels versus each other via Mother Nature.
Black markets, basically. In other words, I see your pig and I've got a couple of silver coins and I buy it.
Right. Exactly. And that's the reason you own silver, is for barter. Gold is for your real wealth.
Yeah.
Because no matter what they do, no matter what laws they pass, if you hold gold and you've not turned it in and you continue to hold it, either you or your heirs at some point in time on the other side, whatever the new system looks like, you will enter that system with real wealth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The masses are going to have their wealth eviscerated. Their wealth is going to be destroyed and taken away from them.
Yes. You'll definitely be better off than them, but I think you'll also be resented by them who failed to prepare. You'll remind them of their weaknesses or their lack of respect every time you started talking of these things, and they called you conspiracy theorists. So they will almost, as I have suggested, we've got to prepare for them Stockholming up, as we've already seen, in supermarkets around
the
now.
average. That's why the average stacker should never talk about it. You're talking about stackers being resented. You're absolutely right. The average person who does purchase gold, who does purchase silver, shouldn't talk about it, because like you said, they will be resented. They will be targeted. Your wealth will be targeted. You're targeted for home invasions.
Yeah, correct. Correct. That's the other thing is, don't have more assets than you have might to protect, because people will spot that asymmetry. You don't want to be a lone old man and a hermit in a hill who's blagged about having millions in metals. You almost need to cuddle up in community of cross interest with similar like-minded interest, which is what we keep talking about. In other words, there's everybody's got everybody's back. Unfortunately, you go back to being, dare I say, a homogeneous society, but a homogeneous society not on, specifically about around ethnicity, but by values and principles, where the people are for law and order, sound money, and the protection and security of each other as a community of neighbors.
Yeah, no, that's correct. You want to associate with like-minded people. It's past the point of trying to convince people what's going to happen. Now is the time to be digging your foxhole, throwing your supplies in, and getting ready for what's coming.
Yeah.
And in other words, if you haven't figured it out by now, you're not going to figure it out. So, it's a waste of your time trying to convince somebody what's coming.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's all hands to the pump. In fact, you speak more by your head down and your fervent preparation than anything else. The more people see that you're no longer even talking about it, they just see you packing up, buying a big piece of land and remote in the hills, a prefab house with solar panels on it and hooked up to water, rainwater harvesting, various aspects like that, and see you moving out of town. The more they'll start to get that feeling that the smart people are leaving the room and they're starting to stick out, and they're being left behind.
Right.
That's the example is now the only way. There's nothing that, as you say, I don't want to say lack of sympathy. Some people I was very lucky to get a lot of exposure and to take it seriously, and maybe to also have that personality type where I notice patterns, and someone like you as well, I'd imagine. But for the rest of the people that don't have that profile, that are just trusting, I have a certain degree of empathy for them, but not to the point of being sacrificial. We have to go and create a second way, a community showing a second way where there is barter, real sound money principles. So if people are doing silver and gold, and you mentioned something very interesting that I have thought of and occasionally mentioned, but not a great deal. If you are owners of equity, it's my personal opinion there's going to be a major risk-off event, so all assets will plunge, including the gold and silver paper price, whether you will actually get delivery and what the premiums will be during that period. When everybody loses faith in all fiats, you may get that flippening moment where gold actually will eventually go up, even on a rising dollar, when everyone initially runs into the dollar. But just putting that all aside, initially all assets will dip. If there's, and there's going to be immense counterparty risk. So someone who is affected by FTX, we see the FTX takedown as very much a microcosm of what's meant to and will happen on a far more globalized scale in terms of the banks. And, I logged into the site, I saw my money, couldn't withdraw it, and then eventually it just turned to a hanging site, and then there's nothing, and goodbye. That's it. There's no forms, there's no explanation. You see the news and it's gone. In essence, banks will be sending out MS messages and saying, you might have seen the news. As a result, this has happened. For now, we can't allow you to withdraw more than $50 a day, but we're expecting it this time. And slowly they bleed the truth out to you. And then there's good news. We hope to be back online. And then suddenly a big ops, there's been knock-on effects. Sorry, this has happened. And then eventually it goes quiet entirely. and you can't even log in anymore. A sort of bleed the bad news out during a problem reaction solution cycle, where essentially it seems they're right-sizing the world for food supply as well. So you know the shops will be empty, looting, BLM, the sort of social unrest that will be associated with that. That's one of the reasons why I assume you're suggesting to be remote.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You mentioned all assets will get hit. I think it needs to be clarified that you're talking about the paper prices, the COMEX prices. I mean, we've seen it several times now in silver, for example. You go back to 2013 go all the way back to 2008. You had $9 paper silver, but you could not buy even a 100-ounce bar for less than $15 an ounce. The way you need to think about it is ask yourself, what is the value of a contract that cannot perform? And the answer is zero. So when all is said and done, you could see gold at $10 offer and no bid on the COMEX, and you could see it at 25,000 or 50,000 bid and no offers. So it's important to make a distinction between the paper markets and the real markets. And even if you don't see that huge dichotomy right up front, when all is said and done, all roads lead to gold and silver. When I say all roads, that is where the real wealth is going to be found. I mean, all you have to do is look at what China is doing. Look at what Russia is doing. They've been stockpiling gold. Gold has been moving for years and years and years from west to east.
Yes.
And he who has the gold makes the rules. Follow the money, follow what the smart money, and the smart money at this point are the accumulators of gold and silver. And it's very simple. The world collectively is going to bankrupt, and gold and silver can never bankrupt. They're the only two monies on the planet that cannot bankrupt, and that's why you want to own gold and silver.
That's perfectly summarized. I like that. And I liked the bit in your statement, get your share certificates. Should guys hold miners, or should they rather just get into the commodity for what's the crash, and then pivot into miners when we have a sort of post new system, UBI, CBDC? Because essentially it seems there's going to be a rush for liquidity. Everyone's going to be forced seller, even of good things, like, say, a silver miner that's legit. In fact, they could be seized by states. They could be bankrupted or have their credit lines refused and can't open, and you need to wait for new management. You could actually be bankrupted out of them. So, I'm not being negative. I'm trying to gameplay how they spoil your good planning in terms of this. Should people be in equities, or should they rather just be right there where they can hold it in their grubby hands and protect it?
Well, I mean, you shouldn't look at it as all or none. You might want to have 10% of your portfolio in miners, or 20 or 30 or 50 or whatever your risk appetite allows. Yeah. You do want to have those certificates in hand so that any type of bankruptcy other than that company itself can't take your shares away from you. In my opinion, when this thing is done and the smoke is cleared and it looks like we're moving forward again, mining shares will have already made stock market history. And when I say stock market history, I'm talking about going back to, you know, the 1790s, early 1800s, when the stock markets began. What you saw with the dot-com move leading up to the year 2000, what you just saw over the last 2 years, where they put all the money in because of COVID and they ramped up stock markets all over the world. Those are going to look like warm-ups to a kindergarten party. What I'm getting at is the mining industry is going to make history because the mining industry will be the one that creates money by digging it out of the ground.
But given that they want to introduce a new system and they want the CBDC to be shiny, new, and most loved, They know they're going to be embedding the surveillance tools and the back doors and everything that they intend to do. They know that many of us are suspicious of exactly that. How do they upsell the CBDC next to something that has the privacy of physical money? They don't like, you know, Rockefeller said, competition is sin. They don't like it to become, we can argue they're not exactly competitive because you can't use, you know, electric grid to send gold and silver ounces, you know, the kind of Bitcoiners argument. But in some senses, the truer sense of value is that held gold, and that truer sense of confidence in transaction is that held silver and in terms of utility. Are they just going to expect, no, the fact that this is digital will dominate. Most people will interact with the internet. We're going for this Metaverse 3. It's all going to, the grid's going to be back up. It's all going to be powered up. The bulk of commerce will be here. We'll let those gold bugs and the silver bugs survive, and we're actually going to let it turn into a major boom and see a segment of the population get exceedingly wealthy when we prefer to have slaves that are entirely reliant on us and our UBI. How do they trip us up? Do you feel that they're going to let that? Do you feel we're going to get our happy ending in the fairy tale, given that there's some dark actors that will want to sell this new shiny toy, CBDCs?
Yeah, one train of thought is that, yeah, in the end, we're going to win, but there won't be any place to spend your winnings. So, yeah, that's very possible. And again, there's no question in my mind that they're going to come forward with a central bank digital currency, or, you know, globally. But the question is, how long does that remain? How does that actually function? And one last thing on your gameplay scenario. If the case is there is no place to hide, then where do they hide? They have personal assets just like you and I do. So where are they going to hide?
And at foundations, this point, corporations, paperwork.
Right. What do the foundations hold? What are the assets?
So they already will hold large amounts of BlackRock, Vanguard shares, which will dip, but will come up. And those companies will buy mines up, will buy retail homes up, and will be the gold play if the gold is allowed to run, because then those will be the capital providers of the new CBDC to the new startup mines that pick up the mines that were forced into bankruptcy after the banking ties were terminated. So they will have exposure to everything as they always do. They'll still own the Unilevers and all the, you know, the five brands that have the 150 brands. And they do this through corporations, offshore entities, foundations, trusts, blind, you know, Delaware from, you know, to all of that. So I don't think their nature of game will change. I don't think paperwork's going to disappear. In fact, all their wealth is on contract and written up, their own things, some of which they've never seen or never even been to, I'm sure. And they'll continue to get dividends and streams from that. So I don't think that gets lost. It just might get lost for us if we can't prove our share certificates. I'm pretty sure they'll have all their paperwork in order. So if we're talking about them, I think it's business as usual for them. There'll just be a major collapse in the assets temporarily when we have a demand crushing event, which will be event led, the likely credit and derivative in there as well, although something else possible on top of that. And then everything will get Phoenix back up. They'll probably even do a stimmy in the new CBDC to seduce everybody to open a government wallet and all the carrots and incentives. They know they're not shy and not stupid on psychology and manipulation, is my opinion. And if they allow metals to run, they'll be buying up all the small mini miners and the big miners if they don't already, not already the biggest shareholders and capital providers to them already. So I don't know how that plays out. Do they spoil it for us? Do they allow a few people to participate in that slice? Possibly they would, they might. I just don't think we can assume with great comfort that necessarily there isn't a few speed bumps or pitfalls along the way to shake us out. I mean, in essence, during the problem reaction solution phase, if there's only their money available for securing a stipend, you think there's a ration on bread and all the stores are closed and various other social unrest of great scale, let's say, almost think Bolshevik communism, you know, you queued for a handful of loaves. Maybe the only way you can contract to get the things you need for most people, hence why you say self-reliant, but it's hard to be self-reliant on everything. You might need their currency, and then you'll have to black market out of your gold and silver, and you won't get the full recognition that will come maybe later. So we get squeezed out at the bottom on account of monopolization of utility in terms of transacting. So I'm trying to think how, you know, I spend probably more time than other people like this, because there's always many twists in the tail that'll make so many people have positioned well only to be shaken out by the dearth of liquidity. Few people understand when nobody has any money, all your income dries up. No one will be buying gold, silver. No one will be buying anything, because if it's a retail proposition, it's not there. The only buyer is the insider who's picking things up for the penny on the pound. That's my concern. You've got to survive the pinch without having to unload at a bottom.
You mentioned BlackRock, Vanguard buying up real estate. It was just a couple days ago that they basically have shut exits out. You can't withdraw your full account. The liquidity there is already gone, and you've got real estate turning down. Well, they do not always win. As far as your game scenario
goes, look
how
dirty they prepared to play. You see how dirty they prepared to play to put the loss and the pressure on the liquidity on you and to preserve themselves.
Oh yes.
So by essence, what they were doing there is they're saying, we're not going down because you guys are going to panic. You just don't get your money. The rules are gone. The gate's shut. We'll hold and we'll huddle through the dip and the way back up. We get preserved and you just go without it until we say we're good to give it to you again.
Yeah, they always change the rules. They've changed the rules since the beginning of time. Governments have changed the rules to benefit them, you know, going back hundreds, thousands of years. All I can say is you can only do the best you can do. And my question to you is it better to go into this, the greatest depression in the history of history, owning gold and silver or not? And the answer is yes. I mean, as far as the hypotheticals, you know, they could do this or they could do that. I'm sure they're going to do all of it. You just need to do the best you can, survive as long as you can. When I say as long as you can, hopefully that's longer than their system remains up. And you mentioned social unrest. I think you're going to see social unrest like you've never seen before. And Francis, I don't know where you're located. I'm out of the U.S. I live in Texas. All I can tell you is in the rural areas, central bank digital currencies will not fly. I mean, you could look at a Democrat-Republican map of the United States. It's blue on the coast and the whole center of the country is red. And that whole center of the country, they own guns. The Second Amendment is the only reason they haven't tried to snap this trap shut already.
Yeah. No, I hold great store for the conservative community of America to be holding back the tide. I also fear they won't shy in the lieu of martial law and even putting troops on the street and trying to have them shoot upon their own citizens either. Because I think the pressure.
That's coming.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I want to appeal to all soldiers and all veterans and everybody to appeal to people both in the police and in the military. The day that order comes is the day you stand down as a human being for righteousness and justice. You do not fire on your own citizens during a period, but they will make the law that it's you know, do as instructed. And unfortunately, it feels to me that the events of the pandemic was very much a practice drill for people submitting their own rationality, their own humanity, and saying that I was following orders. You know, riot police cops dragging grannies off park benches for not wearing a mask and all of this. Unfortunately, they're very good at also ensuring they have compliant slaves. And then you have the AI and the robotics, which is probably getting into more advanced states, and drone technology. So I think we have quite a bit to be concerned about, but At the same time, I'd like you to be right on optimism and that they don't win at all. I just think we're dealing with a
Well,
very, very
there's
big
one other
force.
there's one other thing, Francis. You're talking about under social unrest, martial law. Again, they have to have a system that's up and running in order to do that. I've spoken to many, many police officers, sheriffs. When I see them, I strike up a conversation and ask, when the financial system goes down, where are you going to be? And I think I've come across maybe two that said, I'm going to be on the job. And the rest of them said, I'm going to be home protecting my family. So I think you're giving them more credit than is due. It's just my opinion.
I love these brave statements and declarations. I've heard many of them that I'll never take a mandatory medical opinion. I'll never do this and I'll never do that. And you take away their holiday out of the country. You make a life just a teeny bit inconvenient. You turn it into a bit of a psyop. You take away their paycheck at work, which is quite a brutal squeeze between the legs. And unfortunately, people find new morals when the existing ones don't work for the situation they're in. But again, I hope to be wrong. I'm coming out the more pessimist. I'm enjoying also more just the case of holding up the other side of an argument for in as two people who greatly agree in principle,
Right.
just so that
Understood.
nobody is complacent, unfortunately. The degree that there will be turncoatism, rat your neighbor out, all of these technologies. These people have pulled the Bolshevik Revolution and the Stasi police and many things before, multi-generational. And you don't know the pain until you're in the frying pan. And then it's unbelievable how people will flip. But I hope to be wrong. But I expect great duress and a big, like you, problem reaction solution cycle, which could see a lot of weaponized rogue elements running around, and a lot of police, like you're saying, potentially staying at home. So security could be a massive, massive thing. I'm just thinking of our women and children first, but men as well. You're gonna need to be safe. You're gonna need to be security is probably gonna become as big as the gold. It's only, don't have more wealth than you have resources to protect it. It almost needs to go up in proportion. The walls, the beams, and the guns for the greater the goal. That's my take. In terms of this bill, let's try to finish on a more positive note. What could you see? I mean, it's almost foolhardy to talk in old dollars because I think very soon we'll be referring to the current dollar as an old dollar, and there will be a new system. But in terms of what we understand to be the dollar today, what is the upside for those that have done the right thing and carry their balance sheets through this constriction and this birthing system where there's going to be so much turmoil into the new system? What is the upside for them as portfolio holders of gold and silver in dollar terms as we understand the current dollar now? What do you think could be possible?
Oh, well, the upside is that the current dollar is going to go away. I mean, that is no longer my opinion. It's no longer an opinion. It's math. If you do the math, it's going away. And I'll give you a little piece of that math. And I did this, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. If you took the amount of gold that the US supposedly has in Fort Knox, West Point, Denver, etc., if you take that number that's not been audited since 1956 and you divided it into the amount of just on books debt outstanding in order to pay off our debt, you'd come up with a number over $125,000 an ounce. If you included all debt, not just the on books debt, if you included Fannie
Unfunded
Mae, Freddie
liabilities.
Mac, Ginnie Mae, you're looking at a number way, way, way over $500,000 per ounce. And that's assuming we have the gold that we say we have. At this point, the system is completely untenable. So, I mean, I don't know what more to say on that. You just, put the math
No,
to
that's
it.
very optimistic, and I love it. And what about what's the relationship
No, it's
there with
not
silver?
optimistic. Hold on a second. That's not optimistic. That's math. There's a difference.
No, it brings optimism, I should rather say. It is maths. It's absolutely as you say. It's got to be, if it's bat, if we were
Well,
to use
you
a
can't even
backing
look at
model.
that and say it brings optimism. You could look at it and say, oh, well, you're saying, gold could be $500,000 an ounce. But what are you going to be able to buy
With a
if
dollar.
gold is $500,000 an ounce? There won't be any stores open. There won't be any banks open. Nothing will be open. The only thing you'd be able to do is if you have a neighbor that's got two pieces of property, wants to hang on to his, but needs capital, you trade him gold for his land. Now you've got a piece of land, and what did you do? You paid 3 ounces of gold or whatever, some ridiculous number. So, I mean, there's so many moving parts on this. You can game play it all you want, but there's so many moving parts to this that the game is going to be changing on a daily, weekly basis
But I like what you
once
said
the
about
derivatives
buying
break.
land. There has been a historical land gold ratio and property, which has since the financialization of everything got deeply distorted. And actually, this is what I mean when I talk about the optimism and the opportunity and everything, is that when we restore and we go do away with the perversion of the old system and the hyper indebtedness, you will see a restoration and you will have invested in that asset, which will start to reflect more closely what the legacy that we were used to long before the financialization of error. So you will be securing potentially if you use the opportunity, you have a business brain with a couple of ounces of gold, a decent sized plot of land, and even skills and set and work. And in essence, that's an optimistic note for somebody who has taken the right action. That there will be absolute turmoil and
Right.
burned supermarkets and car dealerships, I have no doubt, and that we will have gone through hell, I also have very little doubt.
I've got a comment on that. You're talking about burned out and looted supermarkets, car dealerships, etc. Let's just go back to the source. Everything runs on credit. And when credit breaks, trucks are not going to move. Nothing's going to move. And I use this example of a loaf of bread. I've probably done it 100 times now. A loaf of bread comes from wheat. The wheat comes from a farmer. The farmer's got to generally buy money, or I'm sorry, borrow money for his seed, borrow money for his fertilizer, borrow money for trucks. Maybe the land itself is borrowed upon. So the farmer grows the wheat, he harvests it, and then ships it to a silo. Well, how does it get to a silo? It gets there by a truck. How does the truck run? On credit, on diesel. Where do you get your diesel? A gas station. They use credit. The major oil companies, the refiners, they all use credit. Okay, so now your wheat's in the silo, and it's got to be moved to the production facility. The production facility uses credit. The trucker uses credit. Okay, so the loaf of bread is now baked. Again, you've got another use of credit going to the store. The store itself uses credit. Many people are in such bad financial shape right now, they're using credit to eat. So what I'm getting at is no credit, no loaf of bread. No credit, no nothing. Everything will stop for a time. Central bank digital currency or not, the whole shit house is coming down and everything will stop for a time. Is it 5 days? Is it 2 weeks? Is it 2 months? I have no idea. But expect that to happen. Expect nothing to work. Expect the internet not to work. Expect your cell phone not to work. Expect no electricity. Expect being on notice that you have to boil your water. Expect that life has come, that as you knew it, is completely gone. And that's where we're headed.
No, I'm the hard reset guy. You're singing my song. Everything, grid down. It's complete grid down. Electricity, mobile network, everything. You will have no
And
information.
what will your Bitcoin be worth in that?
Not very much at all. I would say zero, personally.
Exactly. It's digital air.
Oh, absolutely. Physical will be the king. And I think we have to go through that birthing channel for that to be respected again. And there's a lot of people on that. Excellent. Bill, how do people engage with you? It's been a great chat and I've enjoyed it. How do they, should they wish to talk to you about their bullion needs, where do they find you? Give a shout out to how people should engage.
Sure, you can go to www.milesfranklin.com, or if you want to reach me directly, my email is bholter@hotmail.com.
bholter@hotmail.com or go direct to the Miles Franklin website. We will post those links in this content below. I've enjoyed that, Bill. Thanks for sharing your stoicism and your contributions both to Gata and to sound money principles. We're part of the same tribe in different parts of the world. We'd love to see you one day in Texas in your rural, remote, safe area. Yeah, until next time, I say goodbye.
Thanks for having me, Francis.